here this morning. Sister Banks, when was the last time you sacrificed something? Sister Bell? Yeah. Sister Bell, when was the last time? Sister Bell? Sacrifice something. However you want to put that. When the last time you sacrificed something? We ain't talking about Lent. Can't remember. How about you, Sister D?
Depends on how significant you're defining sacrifice.
Well, sacrifice is what it is, you know?
Significant? It's honestly been a long time.
Okay. How about you? What is it you're sacrificing?
Being that bad.
This is a Colin.
That's what you got to think on, huh? Yeah.
I mean, when you think about real, like when I think about sacrifice, I think about like really like putting yourself like.
So when is the last time you did that? When was the last time you did that?
Probably yesterday.
All right. Sister Lynn?
I haven't sacrificed anything.
Okay. But I could.
Well, I sacrifice eating candy, bro.
Listen, we ain't talking about Lent. Huh? What about you, Sister Cook? Philippians chapter 2. Oh, I. My sacrifice would be that I try to put myself through paces every day to sacrifice for my wife, and I don't tell her that that's what I'm doing, but she knows full well that every day I do whatever I do is for my wife. It wasn't ever for my children, it wasn't ever for my parents. It was always it was always for her, and it still is that way. That's just always my sacrifice for her, and sometimes it doesn't come off at that, you know, that way. But she full well knows that it's all about her with me. Always been that way.
So I think that we're there with the candy because when I sacrificed that Saturday, he sacrificed also because we did it together.
Listen to me real quick. That's so sweet. Second, Philippians chapter 2, 17 through 30. Let's read that. Keep that word in your mind, right? 2:17-30. Yeah, see, but we ain't talking about that. We're not doing that Lent thing. Let's read it. Let's read it. How about that? Verse number 17, Philippians chapter 2. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once and soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Verse 25, Philippians chapter 2. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold men, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Remember, Paul is in jail, right? He's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And he's presenting to these Christians at Philippi that living in a manner that's worthy of the gospel is an humble, self-sacrificing life. A life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what his narrative is all about. That we be humble and self-sacrificing in our life. In chapter 2 and verse number 3, if you remember, we read that Christians are in humility to count themselves more significant than who? Than others, right? That's chapter 2, verse number 3. In chapter 2, verse number 4, it says that Christians are to look out for the interests of others and not merely their own interests, right? Then Apostle Paul wrote, they were to have the same mind that is seen in Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus lived a humble, self-sacrificing life. He lived a life of surrender, right? So, we see Jesus and we become a part of God's divine nature and we recount that life of Jesus so we'd be reminded of the sacrifice, a complete sacrifice that he gave for us. And because of that, God glorified him. So now when we look at just that small picture right there, how Paul is showing us examples of humble, self-sacrificing lives, we see that the Christ, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, has become the preeminent example of that we ought to have the same mind, the same attitude, the same sacrifice as Christ. So now, what is it that you just sacrificed in the last few minutes or the last day or the last hour? What is it about a sacrifice now that you're thinking? You see it in a different light, do you? You think about sacrifice, you think about not yourself, you're thinking about others. You think about sacrifice, it's not about your interests, it's about others. You think about sacrifice, you think about the Christ. And now he sacrificed, what's that word? Everything. Including himself. Everything for us. Right? And then Paul goes on in Romans chapter 12. We're familiar with it. What does he say in Romans chapter 12? You offer your bodies as a... Yeah. Not dead corpses or people walking around with dead hearts and dead minds. You offer your bodies, your physical bodies, your flesh, as a living sacrifice. It has to be holy and acceptable unto God. You know what he says about that? He says it's reasonable. It's reasonable. So what reasonable sacrifice have you offered in the last month, week, day, hour? See the difference now when the question is asked? What is your sacrifice? Or what did you sacrifice in the last month, week, day, or hour, just in this last minute? Because when we sacrifice anything, what we do, we put ourselves through vulnerabilities, right? Because all of us got that little wall up. We don't want anybody to come out on the other side of that wall and see just who we are. But they don't need to see who we are. We need to show God who we are and that we're extending ourselves for the benefit of somebody else. So who'd you do that for? We do it all the time. We just don't think about it, right? We don't think about it. The spiritual sense of the word is that we do it because Christ did it for us, and we ought to do it for someone else, right? Right? So when you look at sacrifice, and you look at humility, and you look at at yourself. We don't hedge any bets when it comes to that. We just do that because we are members of Christ's body in particular. There's a lot of one another scriptures in there. Remember we went over that one week? There's so many one another scriptures in the Bible. It's just incredible. So the Apostle Paul wrote this from jail for the Philippian Christians and us to have the same mind that is seen in Jesus, and that our mind ought to be first filled with humility. Because without humility, you won't get anything else done for anybody else because you're too proud and you want to do it all for yourself, right? So the humility to count others more significant than ourselves, right? We need that. And then we need to look at Jesus, who is a complete and ultimate sacrifice for all of us. But when we look at this, Paul isn't done showing us examples of humility and self-sacrificing lives. He isn't done showing us how people ought to model themselves after Christ. He also writes to these Christians about exactly what it is that they ought to do, how they ought to do it. How would you go about doing it? How would you go about now, after we've just read these few little minutes here, how would you go about now with a self-sacrifice to God? How would you go about doing it? Did you give up candy now? Does candy have anything to do with it now? Right? It could, if you're a glutton, right? That's a sin of gluttony. But what would your sacrifice be now? What would you think your sacrifice ought to be now, and how should you do that?
To be a helper to other people, to show them God in your eyes as you're looking at God, you know? Showing them that, that you know, my sacrifice is that, hey, I'm praising God. I think you should see what I'm saying, and you should praise him and thank him for the thing that he did for you also.
Anybody else?
I think the sacrifice could be the same. It's just that instead of thinking about myself, I'm thinking about it for others. So with me, I mean, I just kid with the getting forward. But if I look at it as I'm doing this service for others to benefit somebody else, then it wouldn't be an issue getting up and doing it, because I understand I realize what the prize is. It's just like what Christ did. When Christ gave up himself for the cross, he didn't do it for him. He did it for others. So he knew what he was doing. He knew the reason why he was doing it. So it didn't, I mean, it was painful, yes, but okay, take me.
So it'd be a committed and purposeful sacrifice is what you're speaking about, right?
It'll be different.
So let me ask you this question then. Who got time for that?
We all should.
Should, exactly. Who got time for that? Man, you want me to do something for you? I ain't got no time for that. I got, right? Isn't that the scenario? You want me to do what? Well, you might have to wait because I got to do this for me first, right? I got to do this for me. What are you talking about? I can't. Christ says that. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. And you know what else you get from that? You get the same thing Christ got. Christ sacrificed himself in all humility for us. And the Bible says, and God glorified him. He gave God the glory, and God will exalt us as well when we give him the glory in that particular way, right? Because we have to be children who are blameless, children of God that are blameless, without blemish. As Paul says, we shine as lights in this dark world. and we hold fast the word of life. And you know how we do it? You ready for this word? Joyfully. How about a joyful sacrifice? Right? So Christ, he didn't consider himself equal with God, but for the joy, the Hebrew writer says, that was set before him, he went to the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he went, took on the sacrifice. So if we're going to sacrifice as Christ did, right? Purposeful, committed, and joyful. And that's what Paul is calling the Philippian church to now, is a joyful sacrifice. Right? Because a lot of people do things and they complain about it. And after they finish, they say, well, I done it for you at least. At least I done it. Who would have done it for you if I wouldn't have done it? Oh, you see, Mark? Who gonna do it? Who you got? What you doing? Joyful sacrifice, right? So here's what Paul's saying. Here's what he says. In verses 17 through 18, he says, I'm gonna begin with my own example of sacrifice. I'm gonna describe myself as a drink offering. One of that's that's something right there. I'm gonna describe myself as a drink offering, and my drink offering is on top of what? Your sacrifice. So we sacrificing together to God and giving God the glory. He says, you know, let me just tell you what a drink offering was first. A drink offering, after the priest would place the animal sacrifice on the altar, he placed the animal on the altar, he would take the wine and he would pour it out on the burning sacrifice or just in front of the altar as a sacrifice to God, right? So he's pouring his sacrifice on top of the sacrifice that's there, right? Think about Christ here for a second. We sacrifice ourselves to God, and Christ sacrifices himself to God for, man, huh? Anybody think there could be a drink offering here? Can you sacrifice, can you give up anything in this world for my betterment, for my good? Can I give up anything in this world for your betterment or for your good? No, listen, we're not going to even bring it to me. Let's leave it in your house. What can you give up in your own house? What sacrifice can you give up because your spouse is sacrificing to God as well, and you sacrifice on top of that? That's something that's heavy right there. Sacrifice on top of sacrifice, joyfully. Right? I heard Sister Valil talking Friday night. She says, listen, you know what? The macaroni and cheese thing really was, oh, man, it really got to me. But in the end, what she was saying was, you know, I sacrificed on top of that. So the macaroni and cheese didn't become an issue. My sacrifice to God and my love for my spouse became what I needed to do. Right? It doesn't have to be macaroni and cheese. It could be anything. We know what it is that we ought to be sacrificing for our spouses in our houses first, because we can't sacrifice for nobody else outside of our house if we're not sacrificing with and for the ones that we are with, right? So think about it. Now, let's twist the mirror again. We can't sacrifice anything to God if we don't love him, if we don't live like we love him. We know he loves us, and he has given his sacrifice already for us. Are we going to be a drink offering on top of that sacrifice? Can you do that? Can you pour yourself out for God? That's the question. And if you can, will you? And if you will, when? When are you going to do it? That's all Paul is saying. Paul's saying, look, guys, I know y'all doing everything you ought to be doing already, but let me just tell you, what makes me joyful? What gives me joy? Because I know that y'all are sacrificing already, doing everything you can for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm gonna sacrifice myself on top of that. We're gonna be in this thing together, right? Think about it, huh? A drink offering. The Christians in Philippi are the primary sacrifice, right? And Paul himself becomes a drink offering over on the top of that sacrifice. So he's offering himself on behalf, on top of their sacrifice, on behalf of them. We've got to offer ourselves on behalf of somebody else. We've got to sacrifice daily ourselves first, right? Give ourselves to God first. Then we can sacrifice for somebody else on top of that. We'd be that drink offering, man. Pour it all over the temple of God, all over the altar. That's the image that he's given. Can you see that in your mind's eye? It's kind of hard to see yourself as a drink, right? What kind of drink would you want to be? Pour me out. You know what the point is? The point is not that Paul is a drink offering. It's not that. It's not the point that he's a drink offering as he awaits the outcome of his trial while he's sitting in prison. Because you know what he says? He says, even if I am poured out as a drink offering, here it comes again, right? Joyful sacrifice. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Some people can't be happy for what they do for somebody else, like I said before. They can't. They can't be happy with the sacrifice that somebody else is offering because they're jealous, because they're not offering the sacrifice they ought to be offering. Cain and Abel. Right? How can I rejoice with you, Abel, when my sacrifice was rejected and yours was taken? I'm just going to kill you. But they both had the same instructions on what to do for God. One did it and one did not. One sacrificed and one did not. One didn't do what he had to do for God, and the other one did what he had to do for himself. Right? Think about that for a second. Even if I'm poured out as a drink offering, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. It's about a joyful sacrifice, because you can sacrifice all day long. If it doesn't have any heart in it, any joy in it, what's it worth? Anybody ever did something for you and you really didn't, you know, didn't have no feeling or heart put into it? They just said, like we say in Gramsci, yeah. That's it. Just take this and just go about your way. Just get out of my face with it. I've done this for you and it's over with. How about if God would have did that with Christ? Here he is, take him. Take him. Take this sacrifice and that's it. I'm done with you. But after Christ has sacrificed for us, we have to do something as well. Has to be some reciprocation. As Christ was the example of the sacrifice, unblemished before God, we have to be the example of the sacrifice as well in Christ, so that God can see us in Christ as unblemished before God as well. Because on our own, we can't do it. Outside of Christ, there is no sacrifice, none. You have none to give. None. So when we surrender ourselves to the salvation that God offers to us in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what it is. It's in Jesus Christ. It's not of your own, Ephesians writer says, right? It is a gift of God. Man, we got to start giving up some things, right? I don't know what it is you might want to give up, but we're not talking about Lent, right? So the candy, the cigarettes, the cussing, the lying, whatever it is you might want to get, we ain't talking about that. We talking about offering yourselves as a spiritual sacrifice. We talking about spiritual. Put emphasis on that, because God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We talking about a spiritual sacrifice before God, pouring yourself out. Who looked at yourself that way before? Who looked at who? Anybody? Anybody looked at yourself as being poured out before God before that? And I sure didn't. I'm tell you, the only thing I look at when it comes to pouring out is pouring out my heart in prayer. We do that, don't we? Especially when we get in a situation where it's kind of tight, we pour it out, right? We don't empty it, and we should. We pour it out because we want a little bit left, right? We want that last little. That last little sip is the best one, isn't it? Isn't that what we say? Man, I can't believe he asked me for some of that. That's my last lip. Christ didn't leave nothing. He gave every bit of himself to us. a living sacrifice, every bit of it, right? So do we give haphazardly or wholeheartedly? Do we give all or do we give some? How about a portion of it? See, that's what happened in the book of Malachi. The whole book of Malachi is written to these wicked priests, right? They were priests of God, taking care of God's worship service in a temple. And the only thing they had to do was take tithes from the people, every tenth thing, not 10%. That wasn't a deal back then. Listen to me now, right? Leviticus 27, Deuteronomy 14, all right? So every tenth thing that passed under the rod belonged to God. That means it had to be unblemished, right? So if people are going to put a percentage on it, and I'm going to get back to my point, if you had 15 chickens, you had to tie it to God. If it was a percentage, how many chickens would you have to give to God? Isn't that incredible? So you have to cut a chicken in half, 1.5 chickens. So you don't want that. It's blemish, right? That means you only had to give one because it was every tenth thing that passed under the rod, right? So you got these wicked priests in the book of Malachi, right? They wasn't tithing what they were supposed to tithe from the people of Israel who were given to them to make a living. Matter of fact, they were blaspheming before God. They didn't give what they were supposed to give. They wasn't sacrificing what they should have been sacrificing. Peter says, we are a holy nation. We're royal priests, right? What are you sacrificing? What are you pouring on the altar? Are you giving it your all, or are you giving them that 1.5? What are you giving? Drink offering. Man, that just blows. When I think about the drink offering, that kind of, in my mind's eye, I just blows my mind, the drink offering. Because I'm pouring myself out on top of what you're doing as well. We're sacrificing together, and we're doing it joyfully. And we've got to learn to recognize the sacrifice that's coming from somebody else, especially the Christ. And once we recognize that, embrace that, and pour yourself out before God. Can you do that? It's tough. Look, it's tough being a Christian because there's a lot of things that you have to learn, a lot of things that you have to do, and a lot of things that's going to make you grow into the person that God is calling you to be. And one of them, start with this simple, simple practice right here of sacrifice. So what does sacrifice look like to you now? Looks different? Looks different to you now? Looks different to you now, Brother Cook? Looks different to me too, right? Because I should be sacrificing more than what I'm sacrificing now. But you know, I'm stuck because I'm stuck because I get in the way sometimes myself. And it's kind of hard to hurdle over yourself, right? When you get in the way. Let me tell you, I get in the way so many. And I love to be a drink offering every single minute of my life to God. I love to be that. But I'm telling you, I'm not. And that's why the Bible is written to remind us that we have to be for God what he's called us to be. Right? I mean, who is? Who in here constantly pours himself out to God? Who does it? Anybody? That's what Paul is trying to tell the church of Philippi. You keep pouring yourself out. I see you. You keep sacrificing yourself. I see you. And I'm going to come right behind you, and I'm going to sacrifice joyfully with you. We're going to both be on that altar before God, giving them glory and praise, giving them the honor that he's due, right? Be glad and rejoice with me, he said. Be glad to rejoice on somebody else's behalf. Be glad to do that. But he moves on. He doesn't spend a whole lot of time on his own sacrifice. He talks about two other Christians that are joyfully sacrificing themselves as well. Who's that first one? Timothy. Timothy. What do y'all know about him? Hmm? From a young child, Paul says, you, Timothy, have known the scriptures, right? Which is able to make you wise unto, what's that word? Salvation. So fan the flame, Timothy, fan the flame. Because from a child, you were raised by Lois and Eunice, and you have been walking with God for a long time. So is he worthy to be the sacrifice sent by Paul to the church at Philippi? We're not worthy of anything. But Paul says that his worth is also proven, right? Because look at what he says in verse number 20 of Philippians chapter 2. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Anybody in here like that? Anybody in here genuinely concerned for somebody else's welfare? Yeah, he's saying, look, Timothy got a proven track record. Look at him. Understand who he is. And he is genuinely concerned for your welfare. Why? Because others seek their own interests and not the interests of Christ. But Timothy is a son of faith. He's been having faith all his life. He's different. He's like Christians are called to be. He is a son in the faith. He's serving Paul in prison in the gospel. And the Philippians can see that as well, and they know that his worth is proven. So why is he valuable? And why are we valuable? Why could we be valuable as well, just like Timothy? Why is he valuable? Because Timothy put the interests of others. You with me? Boy, that makes it valuable right there. You know, when you do stuff for people, they never forget it, do they? They don't, man. They're so grateful. Oh, man, people, well, you got some ungrateful people out there, you know, for the most part. When you do something for somebody that makes an impact on their lives, they will never, and it conjures up emotions within them and all that, because they just feel so, hey, listen.
And it's not what you want to do. It's what they need. It's the thing that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, you don't mind doing things. Like, if money is not a problem for you, give somebody money, and it won't bother you. But if somebody's asking for your time,
so I say, who got time for that?
I'm telling you that this is what I'm, this is what you're going to do, or this is what I want to do. That's not a sacrifice.
Right. It has to be what they need. I agree. You got to put, here's the key, the interests of others ahead of your own interests. Because we all got our own things that we like to do. And we'd wish, man, I would love for somebody to do everything that I need done for me. But you got to put your own work in, right? You got to put your work in. Because just a few weeks ago, he says, work out your own soul salvation, right? Fear and trembling. You got to put some work in, right? It's easier to serve other people when we have our own interests in view. Because what we do, we serve them because we have an eye looking at what we're going to get back. I'm going to do this for you, Brother Cook, but you know when, look. Mm-hmm. Indeed. I'm going to do something for you, but in the back of my mind, I'm expecting you to do something for me as well in return. What you say, Isabel? Isabel say, hmm. Never. And let's put it in what we're familiar with. I'm going to give you a certain dollar amount. All right, I'm going to give it to you. What you expect back? Sister Lazada say interest. Yeah, I want more back from you than right. Yeah, hey, give it to me. You expect basically to receive something back. But what when you don't get the same amount back, or they shortchange you. Or they used to say when we was growing up, man, let me pay you a little bit today and I'll catch up with you. You remember that? You remember that, brother? I'll catch up with you, you know, next week. And next week still ain't came.
Oh, I give it to you when I hear my hand come.
So what Paul is saying basically is that that's a hard problem. That's exactly what it is. We don't have anybody else's interest in heart except our own. Because I'm only giving it to you because I know, look, I want something back and I might want a little bit more than that as well, right? But is that real service? Is that real service that God calls us for, right? Is that a sacrifice? That's not even true sacrifice. Because we're only giving in service to other people, sacrificing because we expect something in return. And listen to this. Of equal value, not lesser value. We don't want nothing less than what we gave, right? You better make, look, give me something equal or give it to me a little, it's more valuable than, right? Right, Valera? Yeah. But what Paul says, Timothy has proven himself, and he's genuine. Listen to me, and he is genuine. And his concern is for you and for your welfare. Everybody knows, and we do it all of our lives. How you doing? Here comes the genuineness. Oh, come sit down and tell me how you're doing. We don't never say, how you doing? Oh, you stop and say, well, how you doing? Tell me, look, let's sit down and you, right? Because you might want to help in that moment, right? You might have a little bit of time that you've eked out to say, okay, I'm gonna check them out now, right? We've got to count others more significant than we count ourselves is what he's saying. He said Timothy is considering the interests of the Philippian church over his own interests. He has the mind of Christ, which is what we said from the beginning, which is an humble self-sacrifice. That's what it is. That's what he's giving. Verse number 21 says, if you're seeking your own interests, you can't be seeking the interests of Christ, right? And on the contrary, if you're seeking Christ's interests, then you're not seeking your own interests. Nothing to do with you. We can't seek our own interests and think that we're serving and seeking the interests of Christ because we just lying to ourselves. Let me tell you what's happening in the world today. A lot of people out there in quote-unquote churches in the world are making their services and activities to match the interests of the people. What about what God is interested in? Because after all, it should be all about God, right? Not about what your interests are and what you want to do when you come to church. A lot of churches of Christ have changed their interests away from the desires of God and let it be the people's desires. But we can't, listen, Christ is the head of the church. And if the things I want to do are not the things that Christ wants me to do, then duh, I'm not serving Christ. I'm not sacrificing anything. When we reject our own interests for the interests of God, when we seek the interests of others over our own interests, we seek the interests of Christ as well. That's where we got to be. That's where we got to land. We got to seek the interests of Christ in all things that we do, over and above ourselves. He presents a second person. His name is Epaphroditus, right? Epaphroditus, in verses 25 through 30, Paul says, I'm sending to you. And listen to what he says about him. He says, he is my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. He was a part of the church at Philippi. He was sent to serve Paul, a messenger and minister to my need, right, while Paul was in prison. But, ready for the but? What I'm getting ready to say. The man was sick unto death. and still serving. Still serving. You get some people who just look, man, I got plantar fasciitis. I ain't coming to church. Don't look for me over there. If it's raining, you know, when it rained, my knees start hurting a little bit because I got that I ain't coming, right? This man was gravely ill. Verse 27 says that he was near death, sick unto death. So let me tell you what I do when I get sick. I get my little bell out. You can ask my wife. I get it out, Sister Cook, Brother Cook. I get my bell out because I want somebody to pay attention to me and serve me. That's what I want because I'm the one that's sick. I want you to call me. I want you to dote over me. I want you to send me letters and calls. I want it. I want somebody to care for me because I'm the one that's sick, right? I'm going to do everything I can to manipulate you to pay attention to me. This guy is sick unto death, and you know what his interest is? That the people in the church not even know he's sick. You see that? That's what he's thinking about, near the point of death. The Christians heard that he was sick, and he says, listen, no, that's not what it's about. Let me continue to do for you what I need to do for you. Don't dote over me. Yeah, I'm sick, but that's not the point. The point is, let me sacrifice on top of your sacrifice. Let me be the drink offering as well. And look, don't fool around and ask somebody sick to do something for you. Can't you see I'm sick? It's not Epaphroditus, right?
No bell for him.
Hmm?
No bell for him.
No bell. None. He wasn't ringing no bell. You're right. How you want me to come over to your house and help you move when you know my back is... Go ahead, bro. But even while he was sick, he still was knocking it out. He still was doing it. He still was doing it. And that's what the scripture is saying. He was to the point of death, and he was still willing to sacrifice himself for God. And when he got better, he did it even more.
I think he couldn't go to him. He was that sick that he couldn't go.
Right, but he didn't let it stand in his way. They knew what his position was. Paul knew what his position was. And Paul said, I'm going to send him to you. I'm going to send him. He was more worried about them knowing he was sick than him being sick. Right?
I think he didn't want to be a
distraction,
too. Their need was greater than his own.
Exactly. Huh?
We didn't come to the church like that.
Exactly.
We don't want nobody to know.
Yep. He didn't want nobody fawning over him. Listen, here's what it says in verse 26. He has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard he was sick. Exactly. He was upset that they was distressed over him. And he didn't want to be the point of emphasis.
Yeah, he didn't want to be burdened to
others. Exactly. He didn't want to be the point. He didn't want nobody to pay attention to him.
Because there was work to be done.
Exactly. I'm going to give my life for you. I'm ready to give my life for you as well, for the Lord. In verse 30, look what verse 30 says. He nearly died for the work of Christ. He risked his life for the gospel to serve Paul and to serve other Christians. Right? He didn't want to tell him what was going on. Paul told him what was going on, not him, right? Paul told him. He risked his life for complete service to Paul on behalf of the Philippian church. But here's what it says in verse number 29. It tells us that Christians who are to be received with joy and honor for their faith and sacrifice for Christ. We're to be happy that we are able to sacrifice ourselves for Christ and rejoice with each other in it. And pour ourselves out as a drink offering on top of that sacrifice as well, right? Every servant of God ought to and should be living in a worthy as manner of the gospel of Jesus Christ and living to a point that they would risk it all for the sake of the gospel. Everything, all of it, risk it all, right? Showing genuine concern for other people and not just when it suits us, our own desires. Because if I was Epaphroditus, I'm home, I'm chilling, I got my bell out, bring me my medicine on time, I take it every 6 hours, right? You know I can't eat them grits. What you bring them grits in here for? But that's, he says, it's not about me. It's about furthering the church, right? Some people, when they get sick, and one or two people from the church call them, they say, you know what? The church ain't even came to see me. What, well, one or two people is the church, right? What you talking about? Right, Mo? Everybody might not be to get to you, but I'm just telling. You sure don't?
Let everybody come to you, be like, oh man, y'all don't come back no more.
Exactly. But I want to tell all of y'all right now, here, right now, when I'm sick, come. Do what you got to do, because I'm going to be belly aching me. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to be pouring it on. I'm going to put my pajamas on. Yeah, matching pajamas. That's right. And it's on, right?
Church of Walmart.
Hey, look. We're talking about acceptance or rejection here. We can never reject the opportunity to help to serve somebody else, to help to serve one another, all right? We've got to always seek the interests of others above ourselves. I got two more scriptures for you, and we're about to be done right here. Mark chapter 8, 34 and 37, here's what he says. Mark 8, 34 through 37. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, Jesus said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him do what? Deny who? Man, I ain't denying myself. It's all about me. Y'all do y'all thing. I got this. You've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel, remember, it's for the furtherance of the gospel, will save his life. And here's our scripture that we've been saying all of our lives. For what shall it profit a man? The whole world, and not just a portion, he said the whole world, and lose your soul. And what can a man give in return for his soul? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Mark 10, stay in Mark, go two chapters over. Mark 10, 42 through 45. 42 through 45, Mark 10. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you. It shall not be with you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Poured itself out. And that's who we are now. Today, in this hour right here, thank God, I know every last one of us now has become a drink offering. Am I right? Yeah, yeah, drink offering. So pour yourself out. And not to the benefit of yourself. Pour yourself out for me. Pour yourself out for him. Pour yourself out for her. Pour yourself out in the presence of God on his altar. Sacrifice yourself, because that's reasonable. Appreciate it. That's all I got. Next week, I know Sister Valel going to ask me, so I'm going to tell you right now. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, next week. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 for next week, Philippians chapter 3. Anybody got any comment or anything they want to say before we close this out? All right, if not, let us pray and get ready for verbal dishonesty. Father, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us that we might sit and discuss your word and learn from one another and grow as a result of how your word guides us through your Holy Spirit to enable us, Father, to be for you what you've called us to be. As that we might understand sacrifice in our lives, Father, that we might willingly and joyfully sacrifice ourselves for the benefit of others, because Christ gave all that he had and all that he was. He sacrificed himself for us on Calvary's cross. And the least we ought to do, Father, is sacrifice ourselves for someone else. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for the church. We thank you, Father, for those that have been ill and have recovered. We thank you for those that have been traveling and have returned. We thank you for those, Father, who have walked away from the church and certainly have come back and repented of their sins and walking in the light with you once again. We thank you, Father, for this life that you've given us and how you've saved us from death. We look forward to your coming. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.